You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
All right, we are in a series called Habits. We're starting out the year with an attitude and an expectation that says, I'm going to grow, I'm going to change, I'm going to learn something new. While all the rest of the world might be waiting for COVID to go away, we're not going to anymore hunker down and wait for COVID to go away. We're going to take some territory, all right? We're the kind of people, the believers and followers of Jesus are the kind of people that are designed to take territory, to grow, to change, to move to another level. And so in 2022, I want to encourage you that this year is a year where you're going to grow, where you're going to learn something new, where you're going to break some habits, where you're going to start some good habits, you're going to make some room for God if you're willing to grab a hold of it. So that's what we're doing in the series. I'm going to talk about something else just for a moment and then come back to it. First of all, I just want to recognize, I was just thinking this morning how appreciative I am of all the teams that get here early in the morning. I mean, do you know, and you probably know this, but several hours before you arrive on campus. I know you have a hard time maybe getting to church on time. Maybe you came in here 10 minutes late or 20 minutes late, whatever it is. There were people that came here 2 hours before you to make sure that things were ready for company, make sure the classrooms are ready for your kids and all of the things in here are beautiful and taken care of. I just want to say thank you to all the teams, the production team, the worship team, the children's ministry team, the front door, the guest services teams, people in the parking lots, everything. Thank you. And of course, we know right now there's a lot of people that are not feeling well. They're home today. They're sick. This Omicron thing is going crazy. It's going through everywhere. And so it just kind of takes a little extra effort to be here this morning. So just want to give an extra thank you to them. And welcome to you. If you're here for the first time today, welcome. If you're watching online, welcome. I am excited that in the midst of all the noise that's going on in the world, that God is on the move and that he's doing things. And that he's doing something in our community in particular. There's something special that's happening in Hanford in Kings County, and God is doing some great things. I want to point out and just give an invitation really to you to an event that's happening this Thursday. It's a community night of prayer that we do. One of the roles that I play in the community is I'm the co-chair of the Christian Leaders Network, which is a gathering of pastors and Christian leaders in our community. And we're made up of all different denominations, all different kind of backgrounds. Theologically, we're a Christ-centered group that is desiring to join together in community and also to see God's kingdom come within this county. And so one of the things that we do is twice a year, we have set ourselves to gather together to pray. And one of the most fun things about these events is to see the different styles of prayer that are expressed off from the stage. And so we'll have a pastor that is a Pentecostal charismatic pastor who gets up, who doesn't have any notes, who can barely contain himself, and he can't stay on topic, and followed by a pastor who is a Presbyterian, evangelical pastor who writes his prayer out, and it's incredibly powerful. It's quiet. It's humble. It's amazing in its content. And then that'll be followed by a guy who's from the Christian church background, First Christian Church, who has a different kind of style. And it is a beautiful expression of the diversity within the kingdom of God and the unity that we are all gathered together for his purposes in this Kings County, that we're not going to be separated just by denominational differences, but we're actually going to be unified by something that's greater. So that's going to happen on Thursday. And if you're interested in joining us in prayer, you're welcome to do that. Please join us. It's going to happen on Thursday at First Baptist in Hanford. We try to do it at a different church every time. And so Pastor Peter, First Baptist, is going to be hosting us. And we're going to start with some tacos. And there's a taco truck that'll be there. But the first two tacos are free. But I just want to say, you got to pray if you're going to eat the tacos, all right? So you can't just come for the tacos and then just go home. If you're going to eat the tacos, you got to pray for the next hour. And so join with us if you're interested. It's a good thing that is happening, and I'm excited to be a part of it, certainly. All right, we're going to talk today about stopping some habits, about breaking some bad habits. Anybody got a bad habit that maybe you would like to change this year, you'd like to see something maybe you've been struggling with for a long time, you kind of keeps coming back around? We're going to talk about how we can see that broken. And at the end of the service today, one of the things I want to do is I want to not only, we're going to give you some principles, I'm going to give you some great points, but we're going to pray at the end that God would be a God who would give you breakthrough this year, that there would be something more than just nice principles and psychological things that were happening, but he's going to give you an actual spiritual punch in the gut to make a change in your life in this year. And so you might just even be preparing yourself for that, because I'm believing that God is going to really touch us in a powerful way at the end of the service today. Now, we know that change is not easy. It's something that's difficult for us in life, but it's not impossible. And the reality is that the way that you live your life every day, those little choices that you make, they actually result in the kind of person that you're going to be. The road that you're on, the life that you're living, the kind of person that you're going to be in 10 years and 20 years is determined by the small choices, the small habits that you make every day. And that's why these very small habits that maybe seem like they're no big deal in this moment, they're actually incredibly powerful, because they are determining the person that you're going to be tomorrow. And so when we began the series 2 weeks ago, what we talked about was what keeps us from building healthy habits. And I want to encourage you, if you didn't watch that or if you didn't hear that message, that you go back and watch that. It's on the Church Center app. It's on our website and our video background, because it'll give you some incredibly powerful principles for how to do this. And then last week we talked about how we get started moving towards successful change in our habits. Today we're going to not just identify some bad habits, talk about how we can stop them. And then next week we're going to talk about some habits that will help us make room for our spiritual life. Make room, actually, in an age of noise and distraction that we're surrounded by so much junk. How do we create a life and create a pattern in our life so that we can be different, that we can be people that are full of the Spirit of God and experiencing what He has for us? And then in the final week, we're going to talk about some habits that will help us build a healthy church family. This week, in the last 2 weeks, I want to say thanks to Pastor Craig Rochelle for his outline and his material. It's just so great and powerful stuff. The next 2 weeks will be my material. So if you've liked the last 2 weeks, look out, because you might not like the next two. And if you didn't like the last 3 weeks, then look out. You want to come back, because it's going to be even better. It's going to be really, really good stuff. James Clear says this in his book, Atomic Habits. He says that everybody has the same kind of goals in their life. We all tend to have the same kind of desires for where we want to go, but at the end of the day, there's different results in what we do with those goals and how we get there. The reality is that no one in here this morning, we might be very different in our ages, in our backgrounds, and where we've come from, in all sorts of different ways, but we all have similar kinds of plans and goals. The truth is that no one plans in their dream, when they're thinking about their life, that no one plans to live struggling paycheck to paycheck. No one says, man, I really hope that that when I get a job and I start working, that I will run out of money before the end of the month, every single month, and that my spouse and me will have these continual arguments about how we shouldn't be spending the money that we just spent. And when we come home and say, you know what, honey, I went to Target and I splurged, that you go, oh my, you did what? We're not going to make it. No one wants that, right, in their life. No one desires, no one plans to struggle with their weight, to be overweight for years and to have poor health and to deal with diabetes and ultimately to die young. No one wants to do that. No one says, yeah, I really hope that I can just be unhealthy so that I die before I have grandkids and never get to see them. No one wants to be addicted to a substance to the point that their life becomes out of control. They break the relationships that they have. They lose their marriage. They lose their friendships. They lose their kids. They lose their, you know, no one wants that. No one desires that. All of us want good things to happen. No one says, man, I really hope that I would just find some lousy job that wouldn't actually lead me anywhere in life, and I would just kind of get through to retirement unexcited about everything, just kind of having a mediocre experience, you know, so that when it comes time for me to lay my head down to rest on that final time, that I will just not have experienced really much. No one wants that. All of us want good things to happen in our life. But what we don't realize very often is that very few people ruin their life because of one big bad choice. When we talk about all those lists of things that are not that great that we don't want, the reality is that that's what happens in many people's lives. The reality is that some people do struggle, and they do get addicted, or they are unhealthy, they die too soon, they can't get control of their finances, and we think, man, it's one big choice that resulted in that. But the reality is that people end up where they are because they make one small choice at a time. It's not one big major choice 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100. It's one small choice at a time every day, day in and day out. But we have a tendency to make these kind of summary statements about our lives and about the lives of other people. We will summarize a lifetime, a whole life, or a number of decades worth of bad choices into like kind of one small reduced phrase. We'll say something like, you know, he battled with his weight all of it for years and died of a heart attack. Or, you know, she cheated on him and they got divorced. Or he just didn't follow through, so they fired him. Right now, the reality is those are summary statements. That they're true in terms of describing the outcome of what happened, but they miss a whole lot of the details, right? I mean, the truth is the guy that was struggling with his job and not following through, it probably wasn't just one time. There were probably a whole pattern of experiences. In your marriage, you don't lose your marriage typically over one big bad decision. There's usually been a series of choices that have gone on for a long time that resulted in the outcome, but we tend to oversimplify, we tend to kind of be reductionistic because that's just kind of the way that we are, and we end up summarizing these things and missing the reality of the importance of the daily decision. And we see these summary statements in the Bible as well. One of these that's found that's fascinating is in the life of Samson in the book of Judges. Samson was a man who was called by God, set aside for God's purposes from his very early youth. He was anointed by God to lead the people of Israel. He really had all of the goods and all the things that he needed to fulfill the destiny that God had for him. But then there's this statement in Judges chapter 16, which is towards the kind of the end of the story, verse 1, that when we read it, it makes it feel like it's just this one choice that happened that led to his downfall. And this is what the statement says. It says, one day, Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. Now, if you're not sure what that is, if you're young, you know, you got young kids there, you can have a conversation with your parents later. But this is the summary statement. One day, Samson goes to Gaza, and then he saw a lady of the night. Something happened. Something changed. It was the beginning of the downfall. That was the moment where it all changed for Samson. But the reality is it wasn't just that simple. It wasn't just one bad choice. The reality is there was a whole series of things that led up to that. I don't know how familiar you are with the ancient Near East geography. I had to look this up because I don't have the map memorized. We're all familiar with probably the Gaza Strip. We know it's somewhere in the Near East. And so I got a map out, and Gaza is quite a far away from the hometown of Samson. Do we have that map? Can we put that up? Do we have that? Okay, it's up on the sides. Okay, so I don't know if you can see that or not, but Gaza there is kind of on the left side. It's on the coast. It is 25 miles away from Samson's hometown. Samson's hometown is called a town called Zora, which is actually closer to Jerusalem. Can you go to the next slides there to show the distance? Do we have it? Maybe we don't have it. Okay. Yeah, so you see the star, you see Gaza, and then eventually there's going to be an arrow that comes up that says 25 miles. It's 25 miles away. Now, in the day that Samson lived, there was no Uber or Lyft. There was no fast way to get there. You did have horses, so that might happen, but they weren't very common because they were part of the wealthy class that might have those. And so chances are, almost certainly, the only way that Samson is going to get to Gaza is that he walks 25 miles. So it's there's a determination here that is required in order to get from his hometown all the way to Gaza. He's actually got to take step after step after step. This is not just like a flippant decision where he just suddenly, you know, I stumble into this situation that ends up destroying my ministry, my life, my family, and my future. This is something where he's making a concerted decision to go these 25 miles. 25 miles is actually equal to 56,250 steps. It's a long way. It's a lot of steps. We might say, now, Samson, why in the world would you be so stupid? Right? You've got God's calling on your life. You know better than this. You've been set apart for his purpose. You've experienced his anointing. You've experienced his calling on your life. You know who you're called to be. How could you be so stupid? Well, the truth is that a lot of people are just exactly that stupid, right? Haven't we been that stupid before? There's something that happens. Countless people do it every day. We make these decisions where I'm going to go down to Gaza. I'm going to head to this spot. I'm going to see what's going to happen. I'm not exactly sure, but let me just go check things out. Let me show up, whatever it is. And we begin to take steps. And Samson takes 56,250 steps to get to Gaza. And the reality is, it's not one decision, it's not one bad habit, it's not one small choice, it's one small choice, one bad habit, one day at a time that eventually leads to the place where you don't want to be, where you end up being in a place where I never thought I would be here, I didn't want to be here, my plan wasn't to be here, and yet I'm here, and now there's a moment that's going to end up destroying me potentially, but it's because one day, one small habit, one bad decision at a time. And the very first week we talked about the fact that we want to focus not just on the doing, on the goal, but we want to focus on who we're becoming, on the who. That we actually have to ask the question, what kind of person do I want to be? Who am I becoming every day in my life? Because as we're becoming that kind of person, it's going to influence and inform what we're doing, the little choices that we make. Do I want to be a godly father? Do I want to be a godly mother? Do I want to be a loving to my kids? Do I want to be pursuing his purposes? Do I want to have a strong marriage? Well, that's kind of about a who, because I want to be a man who loves his wife. I want to be a guy who is constantly there for his children, faithfully and securely making sure that they have what they need. Well, that means that I'm going to be that kind of person. I got to do the right kinds of things. And last week, we talked about how we start that, how we actually begin the road on making those choices. We asked this question, based on who you want to become, what habit do you need to break? Based on who you want to become, what is one habit that you need to break? I'm sorry, that's our question for today. I said that was our question last time. That's our question for today. And if you're taking notes, you write that down. Based on who you want to become, what is one habit that you need to break? This is what James says about habits. He says, get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. James says, listen, we got some work to do, guys. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're pursuing his life inside of you, if you want to see your marriage change, your relationships change, if you want to see your finances change, if you want to see your life go in the right direction, then you're going to have to get rid of some stuff. Rid of filthy habits. You're going to have to rid of ways of doing things that are from the old life. You're going to have to deal with fleshly desires that are going to destroy you. You're going to have to deal with your selfishness. You're going to have to deal with all of these things. He says, get rid of it because that will destroy you, but instead embrace something different. What's one habit that you need to break in order to become the person that God desires you to be? I'm actually going to, in a moment, talk to you about some two basic principles for how we begin to break habits. But I just want to point out that before we talk about that, there's an interesting thing that we should be aware of when it comes to good habits and bad habits. Have you noticed that when it comes to good habits, that it's very difficult for us to begin the habit, but there's on the other end a reward. But with bad habits, the good stuff is on the front end, And on the back end becomes the reward. In this case, what's not a reward, it's actually something that's destructive. Right. So the good habit, you know, it's like you want to get in shape, so you decide to run every day, and it's so difficult. You know, your alarm goes off in the morning, and you're gonna go running, and I don't know, is it 6 a.m. or 7 a.m.? It's cold, and you got to get out of your warm bed, and you got to get on the clothes, and you got to go outside, and you're thinking, man, this is miserable, and you're trying to talk yourself into it, and man, but this is just terrible. It's just horrible. It's so much pain, and it costs you something, but you do it. You get out of bed. You do it. You make the run, and then next day you do the same thing again, and somehow you slap yourself in the face and you drink that coffee and you get back on the road and you pound the pavement and you make it happen, and day after day after day, and it seems like nothing's happening, and you keep doing it and you keep getting up and you keep making the decision. It just seems like nothing's happening. It seems like nothing's going anywhere. And then 9 months later, you look at yourself and you go, wow, I've lost some weight. There's some change that's happening in my body. There's something that's good that has happened. And it was a road to get here, but I'm starting to see the payoff. Now, months down the road, I didn't see it at the beginning. But with a bad habit, it's totally different, right? With a bad habit, all the fun stuff is up front. I mean, sin is fun, right? And if you don't think so, then you're either not doing it right or you're lying. I mean, there's something there that is enjoyable in the short term, right? And it's like it's the quick fix. It's the cigarette, right? That you need that gives you the little hit that makes you feel good, or the other kind that you know. I mean, whatever. And it's on the front end, the reward is immediate. On the back end, it takes a long time for you to get lung cancer. It takes a long time for you to get COPD and to start to have the effects. And you can keep doing this thing, and it doesn't, you just keep getting the rewards. It seems like it's not really doing anything, but eventually there's a payoff that comes, because every time the bill will come due, right? There is going to happen that you will reap the rewards of the seed that you have sown in your life, whether good or bad. It's going to happen eventually. But with bad habits, it's so much more difficult, because the payout is up front. And so we're going to talk about how should we actually begin to create some space and stop that cycle. But before we do that, I want you just to think for just a moment about your one bad habit. I want you to just take a second, because we're going to get to, you know, how we're going to do it. But what is that one thing that God wants you to change? Not 15, not 25. You might say, man, my life is messed up. I got a whole list. Well, you do the whole list, you're not going to do any of it, right? So what's that one thing that is really important for you that needs to change, that you see in your life that if I keep doing that thing, it's going to end me up in a place where I don't want to do it? Might be something that you've dealt with for a long time. It might be something that you picked up over this last COVID season. I don't know where you got it or how you got it, but it's something that you're aware of. What's the one thing? Maybe it's a bad attitude that you carry around all the time, and that you're always complaining and moaning, and you just can't seem to get on top of it. And every time, you know, you just find that you're just complaining when everybody's talking, and you just go right to that place. Maybe it's a tendency that you have to gossip, to share a little too much information, you know, and you're telling yourself you're just a conversationalist, or you're just giving them some material to pray about, or, you know, just helping them out a little bit. But it just makes you feel good because you have this information and you want to share it, but it's really a sin. It's something that you need to break and you need to deal with. Maybe it's an eating issue for you, right? Maybe you eat too much, and then you throw up, or you eat too little, or you starve yourself, and you binge and starve. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you hide what you eat. Maybe it's a technology addiction. Maybe for you, it's gaming has become something that's taken over your life, and you just are in front of the screen for hours and hours and hours, and it becomes your escape, and you discover that the other things are starting to suffer, the things in your life, your work, your school, whatever it is. Maybe it's social media, and you find yourself on social media for hours, you know, and you're scrolling, and you're clicking, and you're liking, and you just have wasted your day because you're really addicted, and then somebody takes away your phone, and you start to panic because you're thinking, I can't live, what are you doing? Can, you know, you hand your phone over to them for 30 seconds, and you start breaking out in a cold sweat because what if somebody texts? What you know? And it's you're addicted, right? You have a technology addiction. Maybe there's something that you just keep going back to, and you binge watch on Netflix, or you look at things that you shouldn't look at, and it just keeps pulling you back into that thing. Maybe you have a tendency of just putting things off to the last moment. And that's a habit that it doesn't really matter in your life. Even the things that you know need to happen, that your wife or your husband tells you, this has got to be done today. You just keep putting it off for whatever reason you're not dealing. Maybe it's lying for you. You just have a problem with telling the truth. You're always hedging your bets. You're always ending up telling a story that's a little bit less than the truth. Maybe it's a substance for you. It could be sugar. Could be nicotine. It could be a drug of some kind, legal or illegal, that you have found that you no longer have control of. Once upon a time, you were taking the thing. Now your body tells you, take the thing, and you no longer have a choice. What's that one habit? By the way, maybe if you need help thinking about that one habit, many of us in our life have had people tell us, you might have a problem with this. I'll just give you a little insight. If you have had more than one person tell you that you might have a problem with something, you have a problem with that thing. You need to stop lying to yourself. You need to start realizing there's something that needs to change in my life. All right. You still with me? Let's help ourselves a little here. Let's just do some practical insight for how we can begin to make a change in breaking habits. Let's talk about how you break a bad habit. Last week we talked about the thing, if you want to start a good habit, that you make it easy and that you make it obvious. It's just exactly the opposite when it comes to bad habits. If you're going to break a bad habit, number one, write this down, you need to make it difficult to do. You make it difficult to do. The reality is that we only have so much willpower. Willpower is like a muscle. And you know this, but it's just like we think we're really strong, but once we have been sort of challenged, that muscle has been worked out, it begins to weaken. Our strength to say no begins to weaken. And maybe you have made a decision that you're going to eat right, and that day what happens is that somebody brings donuts to the office. And at the beginning of the day, you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. I got the power of God inside of me. That's not even tempting to me. You look at those donuts, and you don't even take a second look at them, and you just keep on keeping on. And then, you know, there comes break time, and you pass that donut table again, and just take a second look at those sprinkles there, and you're thinking, man, that's thank you, Jesus. I can say no. I don't have to say yes to those donuts because your grace is sufficient for me, and you've strengthened me and all of, and you know, and so you just kind of keep going in your day. And then at around 11:30, you come back out again. You know, you need some coffee or something, and you know, maybe I just need to, man, just touch that donut there. Just, I mean, I don't need it. Thank God, thank you, Lord, that I can touch it, but I don't have to receive it. You know, it's just I can still say no to it. And then, of course, by 2 o'clock, the donut is inside of you, right? I mean, the donut has been consumed. You ate half of the donut, and then you waited 20 minutes to eat the other half, lying to yourself that somehow it was actually not the same donut. It was like two servings, you know, and because after a while, our strength to say no begins to weaken. And so if it's always there in front of us, we find very quickly we're sucked right back into it. It's just part of the nature of the thing. This is what it says in Proverbs. It says, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your own way. The author says, listen, if you want to not do the thing, if you want to break the thing, if you want to change something in your life, well, don't go to the place where the thing is, right? Now, if you don't want to eat the donut, then throw the donut in the trash and usually smash it, because if you're like me, then if it's on the top of the trash, it's not really dirty, you know? And so, you know, you could like throw it in the trash and it just happens to be right on that clean piece of paper, and you think you're lying to yourself. You got to avoid it. You got to go somewhere else. You got to change something in your life. You got to break some kind of cycles, because if you don't, you're going to end up in the place where you're going to. Now, we looked at this graphic last time, the graphic of the habit loop, and we talked about how there's, in every habit, there's a trigger, and that trigger then goes into a routine, that is the habit itself, and then there's a reward at the end. And that cycle, that loop, is what reinforces our habits to continue, right? I wake up in the morning, that's my trigger for making coffee. I drink the coffee, I make the coffee, that's a routine. I put the coffee in my mouth, and I get the reward of, I can start to wake up right now. And then that becomes reinforcing. Now, when we come to breaking a habit, when we come to making a change, what we have to do is we have to remove the trigger and we have to interrupt the cycle. We remove the trigger, we interrupt the cycle. Let's talk about removing the trigger for just a moment. There are five major triggers when it comes to habits. And this is what research has shown. And you write these down. This is a good list. Five major triggers that tend to operate that are going to start you onto the habit. They're going to start the plane on the runway. That's what Pastor Tim used to talk about. Once the plane is on the runway and it gains speed, it's going to take off. You're already down the road. You got to figure out how to stop from getting on the runway in order to stop the thing from happening. Five major triggers. The first trigger is place. Time is number two. Mood. Moment. And people. Okay, we're going to talk about these five. First one is place. Somebody say place. Place. Place has a lot to do with the lifestyle and the decisions that you make in your life. It's pretty hard to overeat in the gym. That's the place, right? You go to the gym, you work out, right? You tend to overeat when you're with friends at a restaurant and you have food around you. It's just one of the, you don't usually get high when you come to church. If you do, we should have a conversation about your spiritual encounters with the Lord and your practices, okay? But if you go to a Super Bowl party, that's a place where maybe overeating and maybe doing something with your friends ends up getting you into this pattern that you don't like. Because the place tends to be associated with the thing. You go to a bar, you normally drink. You might tell yourself, I'm going just to hang out. Okay, but that place, pretty much that thing happens. And so if you got to interrupt the place, you got to stop going to the place if you want to see the change happen. The second one is time. Time is important, right? The time of the day, the time of the afternoon, the time of the evening. The time has to be associated with some of the triggers that happen in our life. Late at night is a dangerous time if you're alone by yourself. Right, because then the other things start to come up, or maybe if you go to small group at church, you go to a journey group. That's a time that normally you're not going to be drinking too much, or else we need to talk to your journey group leader. Right, because that time is set aside for something else. The story in the Old Testament of King David and Bathsheba. It is an incredible story, an incredible reminder for us of wrong place and wrong time. King David, it says in that chapter, it says, in the time when kings go out to war, David stayed home. And he was supposed to be in a different place. Instead, he was he hung out at his house. He went up to his roof, and it was bathing time, and he saw a neighbor, and she looked good, and the whole story ends up happening, and he ends up committing adultery, killing her husband. It's an ugly thing. His son dies because of it. And all because of the wrong time and the wrong place. Place and time are important. They're important triggers, and so you got to think, I might have to interrupt some places and some times in my life if I want to stop the habit that needs to be broken. The third one is mood, how you feel, because oftentimes how you feel, once you get in a certain mood, then certain things happen, and it's we're pattern people in our life, and so we tend to do certain things when we get in certain moods. Something to remember is H-A-L-T, halt. Halt has to do with moods, right? And when you get in these moods, it means maybe you need to stop because you're about to make a bad decision. Hungry is one of them. If you're hungry, you're going to make some choices, right? You're tempted in certain ways, right? Second one is angry, right? Now for me, those two go together, right? There's not hunger and anger. There's hanger, right? So those two things come together. But when you're angry, right, when you feel yourself getting angry, then oftentimes then that's going to propel you into a different direction and a different decision. If you're lonely, it's the L. You're lonely or you're bored. And the last one is tired. We make bad decisions when we're lonely. We make bad decisions when we're tired. We make bad decisions when we're angry. We make bad decisions when you're hungry. That's why I don't go shopping in the grocery store when I'm hungry. I end up with a lot of stuff in the cart that I have no business. My wife says, what have you done? Go back to Save Mart. Take some stuff back. The third trigger is moment. The moments have to do with, like, you know, moments in time. Something has happened. It's created a moment, and we tend to do the thing after the moment. After you get in a fight with your spouse, then you go out and find friends to talk and maybe bash your spouse, and that's something that happens, you know, where I'm feeling good, but then we end up gossiping and doing something destructive because the moment of the fight happens, and now we have a party to bash our spouse. Or maybe for you, it's after the softball game when you've gone out with the guys. The moment after that is when you go for drinks, and everybody's drinking. You say you're not going to do the drink, but now that moment, and then suddenly you find yourself you did something you didn't want to do, right? Or maybe for you, after you flunk a test, you smoke weed to make yourself feel better, you know. Or after you actually did great on a test, you smoke weed to celebrate. Or after, you know, maybe you just have a weed problem is really what the issue is. It's not really a moment problem. It's just there's a weed problem there and you need to deal with it. But moments, you know, there's patterns. We're looking for patterns. We're looking for moments. We're looking for triggers. And we got to recognize, oh, yeah, that there's an open door that happens right there. Whenever that thing happens, I got to stop. I got to do something else. The last one is people. You don't like this one. You're not going to like this one. You're not going to like me. But the reality is that there are people in your life that are actually determining your future. And the wrong people in your life will take you to the wrong place. And you're lying to yourself if you think it's any different. This is not only just a nice biblical principle. This has been proven by studies. They did a study of 12,000 people over 3 decades. They found out that the closer you are to someone in your life, the closer friendship you have with them, the more likely you are to imitate their habits. And so you'll find in this study what they found is that if somebody in the friend group, in that close friend group, lost weight, then 1 out of 3 of their friends lost weight too in the next year. So, and the reverse is true as well, because their patterns, their habits actually affect you. This is what Proverbs 13 says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Paul says it this way, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You might have a friend problem, and you need to stop lying to yourself that you can just hang out with them and have them be. I'm not saying you can't be friends with people that have bad habits. I'm saying when they're your closest friends, it becomes a problem. Because they rub off, you can't have, their habits rub off on you, your habits rub off on you. That's why you want to get good friends around you. You might need to change some friend groups. You might need to interrupt that cycle just a little bit if you want to change something. So you remove the trigger is the first thing, and you interrupt the action. If you want to wake up early, right, then you got to do something about your process for waking up early. If your thing is that you set the alarm, but then when the alarm goes off, you hit the snooze button 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 7 times, then you need to figure out a way not to do that. So take the alarm clock and move it across the room, right, to the other bedroom or to the somewhere where you're going to hear it still irritating. In order, you got to force yourself to get out of bed in order to get that thing to turn off, because now you've interrupted something. You've removed the automatic trigger of just being able to hit the snooze button, and you've introduced something into it. So just get really practical with yourself. Stop making it so easy for yourself. If you have a problem of overspending, then you need to maybe have somebody else have your credit cards. Oh, I hate that idea. Right? I got to give my spouse my credit cards? What? I got to give somebody else my Amazon password? That's stupid. Well, then you're not serious about breaking your habit, right? If you have a hard time with your phone and you're always on your phone, then maybe you need to do something about that. Maybe you need to set time limits. Maybe you need to give your spouse or somebody else the password so you can't change the time limits, so that you can restrict the content, but somebody else has control over it. And we all, well, that feels like I don't have control. Well, you don't have control. You're trying to break a bad habit. So just recognize that you're continuing to lie to yourself is not going to result in a change. I want to say a word to those that are deep into a habit and you've been struggling with something, and it's not just something that is normal. You know that it's gone to another level. It's to the level of addiction. It's to the level of it's destroying your relationship, your marriage, your life. It's hiding and it's, but you haven't been able to hide it well because it's beginning to determine the course of your life. If you're that deep in, you need to be honest with yourself. move in the alarm clock is not going to do it for you. You need to get rehab. You need to do something serious. You need to start to break disciple. You need to bring some people in. Don't just set yourself up for the temptation and the failure every single time. You've got to interrupt the cycle. Don't just resist the temptation. Remove the temptation. Take it into another place. Secondly, we need to interrupt the action. Interrupt the action. You actually have to take that thing and you got to do something different. Let me just kind of conclude with this. If you're struggling with something and you're thinking, I don't know if this is a really big deal, I think I can handle it. Just think for a moment. Project yourself into the future 10 years out. If that thing doesn't change, what's going to happen in your life? And be honest with yourself. Because the reality is that bad habits, they don't just go away. They tend to get worse. And so something has to come in and interrupt them. And I just want to encourage you this morning that God, it has the power to help you break the cycle. But you're going to have to cooperate with him. You're going to have to be willing to take some steps. You're going to have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone and introduce some other things. And it's not just one prayer, but it begins with prayer. The great thing is that Paul says that when I am weak, you ever feel weak with your habits sometimes? I tried to stop that thing. I've stopped it before, and here I am again. Sometimes we feel like, man, I'm just hopeless. I want to tell you today, the scripture says, when you're weak, he's strong. His power is perfected in your weakness. So if you're feeling weak today, you're in the right place for a breakthrough. You're in the right place for change, because when we come to Christ, he can give us power to be different. That sometimes that's power to go to rehab. That's power to find friends who can encourage us. That's power to break some relationships. That's power to interrupt some cycles. But he has the power to help you in your weakness. He doesn't want you to stay in the same place you are today. I see I'm out of time, so would you stand to your feet? What's that one habit that you need to break? And this is what I want to do, and we don't have time to do this, so I'm just going to do it very quickly. I'm going to have the prayer teams come down. And if you need to make a change. You need to break a cycle. You've got that one habit in your mind. You know God's speaking to you about it. I want to invite you right now to come down to the front as just a sign of saying, Lord, I'm asking you for help in breaking this. I've tried to do this by myself. It doesn't seem to be working. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's something that's sexual. It's something that you're dealing with for a long time. If it's something that you think is a small thing, you haven't been able to overcome it. You keep walking up. But whatever that is, just come down right now. I'm going to pray for you quickly. But come quickly. Because if you're right now saying, I need God's power to change this, I can't do this by myself. I'm not just going to use principles. I'm going to use something else. This is your moment. So come down right now. We're going to pray for you. Quickly. Come up front. I know there's some people that need God's power. Thank you, God. Bow your heads if you would. Everybody just bow your heads right now. You can keep coming forward right now if you're just feeling like, yeah, you know what? I need to make the move right now. And this is you saying between you and the Lord. Lord, I'm asking for your power. I'm asking for your strength. I'm asking for breakthrough. I'm asking for something different to happen. Right now, God, we're reaching out to you. We're dealing with habits. We're dealing with things in our life. God, we don't want to stay the same. We don't want to deal with the same crap tomorrow that we're dealing with today. We don't want to end up losing our relationships and our marriage and our life and our friendships. We don't want to lose our jobs. We don't want to be out of control in our finances or in our anger. Whatever it is, God, we're coming to you right now. And we're asking for power that would be power to break through, power to move us into a new place, power that would take our weakness and turn it into strength. We're leaning into you, Lord Jesus, right now. We're asking that you would leave us, give us what we need, that you would give us the strength to reach out, give us the strength to make the right decisions, give us the strength, Lord Jesus, to tell honestly our friends what is going on, our spouse what's going on. Give us the strength, Lord Jesus, to keep saying no to the thing that is tearing us down and say yes to you. Lord, make us overcome. I pray, give us a new strategy and a new day and a new way. Lord, we don't want to be the same, and so we're reaching out to you. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in the house said, come on, amen. Thank you, God. Would you put your hands together? Thank you, Jesus, for that.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church. Passion for God, compassion for people.